Welcome to the Strong Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole, mom, exercise physiologist, and pre- and postnatal fitness expert. This show is all about helping you navigate your pregnancy and postpartum journey with more strength, energy, and ease. Each week, pull up a seat for a new topic that will empower you to feel strong, capable, and confident while supporting your body through all the changes of the motherhood journey. Just a reminder that the information on this show is not meant to treat or diagnose any medical condition. Please speak to your medical provider for all things related to your healthcare. I'm honored and excited to be a part of your health journey into motherhood. Now let's dive into today's episode. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Strong Mama Podcast. I'm Nicole. Welcome. If it's your first time, if it's not, welcome back. Super pumped to have you here. And not gonna lie, recording this episode the day before it comes out. Sometimes mom and business owner life collides, and that's just where we're at. But to be fair, I did record an episode last week, the week before this episode is supposed to come out, and I just did not love the way that it turned out. I may launch it down the road, but it was just one of those things where I was like, I think this needs a little more think time before I release it. So I scrapped that, and here we are today talking about pregnancy and some questions that I've received recently from clients, from some of you on Instagram, from my pregnancy coaching group, so all kinds of different places. But I'm going to share five questions that I've gotten recently and how I've responded to them. So if you're pregnant or soon to be pregnant, I'm sure that you will have a overlapping interest and overlapping need to hear the responses on these, because I think they're all just like super common questions that we think about. And often maybe you just don't know if this is a question that you should ask. Is this a stupid question? Should I already know this? Those types of things. So anyways, I think that, you know, I think you'll find something that is related to you in this episode. So let's go ahead and just dive right in. So the first of the five questions is, why am I so winded? And this specifically came from somebody in my pregnancy group. She is in the later half of the first trimester, and she just feels like she's doing like the very least in terms of her workouts, and her heart rate is just like so high. She's out of breath. And I get that. I've felt that all the time, or both times in my pregnancies. And this is a very like common thing, and I'm going to explain why. But first off, I want to normalize that it is something that happens, and it's not because you're out of shape or anything like that, most likely. So the first thing is that hormone adjustments and fluctuations are in full swing right now. So that is the first thing, without getting into like super detail with that. Just know that your hormones are going through a lot of changes. You're growing a human, all of that good stuff that we know. But also something else that's happening that we don't often hear or talk about is that your blood volume increases in pregnancy. And specifically, it's increasing throughout that first trimester of pregnancy to accommodate all the new blood cells that you need to help your baby grow and thrive. So your blood volume is increasing, which means your heart is beating faster and more times per minute. So at rest, maybe you already know what your resting heart rate typically is, but at rest in pregnancy, your resting heart rate is 10 to 15 beats per minute higher than normal. So you're kind of working with that already elevated heart rate, plus then you're adding additional heart rate elevations if you're doing a cardio workout or just getting your heart rate a little bit higher. So you kind of have that little extra edge or that little extra elevation that maybe wasn't there before. So that's one thing. And I also, another example that I like to use with this is altitude. Like, it's kind of like going to a higher altitude. So I live in Ohio. It's very flat here. We're not at a high altitude, but if I go to the mountains or something, like my husband and I and a couple friends went out to Wyoming in the mountains for a backpacking trip several years ago. And I want to go back so bad. But the first thing we really noticed is that as we climbed, and even like their altitude is just higher, like before we even started the hike. But what we noticed is that we were super out of breath. Like, we all consider ourselves, you know, we work out frequently, we consider ourselves to have pretty good like aerobic endurance, but we were all, for the first day and a half, maybe longer, it was a 7-day trip. For that first while, our body was adjusting. Like, we need more blood cells to accommodate what our body needs to do at a higher altitude. And that's kind of what's happening in pregnancy. So as, you know, as we went through this hike, again, you had that first few like buffer days to where our body really needed to adjust to the amount of blood cells that we needed to accommodate what we were doing. Same goes for pregnancy, though I think it does take a lot longer, like not a couple days. It's like through the first trimester, maybe a little bit longer, and then it sort of levels out at a certain point. So again, just to normalize, if you're in your first trimester, you're feeling super winded, it's a lot like going to a higher altitude that your body's not used to and accounting for that just because of the extra blood volume needed and the extra times or beats per minute that your heart is beating. So that's that. Next question is, should I be supplementing a protein shake to build muscle in pregnancy? So my answer to this one, you know, whether pregnancy related or not, is that we want to try to get most of our protein from food if you can. So I would just examine, you know, what you're eating on a daily basis and trying to make sure you're getting some protein at each meal and snack. And typically with people, I will recommend eating every 2 to 3 hours, no longer than 4 hours apart, getting something in your system that is protein rich, also a good blend of carbs, fats, fiber. We'll talk about that in a later question, but making sure you have something balanced to fuel you in your body every couple of hours. So if you feel like that's a struggle for you, you could try that first. Like, you could try, I wouldn't just like resort to a protein shake first. I would try to balance out your daily intake to try and get a little bit of protein at each meal and snack, and then see where that leaves you. I don't think there's anything wrong with like adding a collagen protein to your day. I know that I specifically like to add in like a collagen protein into like my morning coffee. So that's always, you know, there for you without going to a full on protein powder. And it's not to say protein powder is bad. I just don't think it's always needed. If you do feel like it's needed, I would talk to a registered dietitian to like really examine where you're at. But if you feel like maybe like a protein shake is easier at some point in your day, like for an afternoon snack, if you're struggling to, you know, have an accessible snack, and a protein shake mixed with water is something that you could do and like paired with a carb, like an apple or a banana or something like that, then that's definitely an option. I would just do some research around the protein powder. I'm not going to recommend one right here. But I do think that you want to make sure it's third-party tested, make sure it doesn't have a bunch of junky ingredients, bunch of added sugar, things like that. So you can always run it past your provider as well to get their take on the ingredient list. All right, moving on to the third question. What are your tips for fatigue? So this question came from a mama in my pregnancy group coaching program. She is in the middle of her second trimester, struggling with a little bit of fatigue, you know, wondering why she hasn't gotten that like second trimester energy boost yet. She does have a very busy, packed schedule. She's on her feet a lot for work, very demanding lifestyle. So that could definitely contribute to that. So we've talked through some of those factors, but I'm going to share with you what I shared with her. This could go for any trimester if you're feeling fatigued. One thing I would do first is to check in with your hydration level. Are you feeling like you're getting 8 to 10 cups of water per day, which amounts to like 80 to 100 ounces? If you are and you're still feeling thirsty, maybe you could benefit from an electrolyte supplement of some sort to try and help with the hydration factor and help that water get absorbed more adequately. So hydration and electrolytes would be the first thing, because even a little bit of dehydration can cause fatigue, like even if you're like feeling a constant thirst. So just something to get a pulse on and figure out if hydration might be a missing link. Another one is obviously sleep. This one is super, super obvious, but sometimes it's just one of those links that we know that we need to be better about, but we just haven't been, whether our schedule hasn't allowed for it or whatnot. But just having some consistency around your sleep schedule, you know, similar time that you're going to bed, similar time that you're waking up in the morning for the most part, can really help. And just making sure you're getting as much sleep as your body needs. So if you need to go to bed a little earlier in this season, like, do what you gotta do to get the sleep that you need. So that one's super clear. The next one is food intake. So eating every 2 to 3 hours, because a big equation in energy spikes and crashes, if that feels like something you're experiencing, can be blood sugar. So essentially, when you're like eating something and you haven't eaten for a long time, your body gets this huge surge of energy. You get this huge, like, big spike upwards, right, of energy. And then shortly later, we're seeing that energy crash. And you kind of have these peaks and valleys and these extremes in your energy. And that can come from really long windows between eating. And it can also come from not eating like super nutrient dense meals and snacks. So something that I recommend with all of my clients is to eat every 2 to 3 hours and try to make it a balanced snack or meal. So ideally we want a protein and a carb in each of those, and also a fat and or a fiber as well. This is going to help things digest really slowly so that you have sustainable energy for the next couple of hours. And you may not be like super hungry the next time you are quote unquote supposed to eat, but that's okay. Like in pregnancy, kind of to keep those blood sugars balanced, it is a lot like toddler eating where, gosh, my toddlers, they eat breakfast. Then 2 hours later, they have a morning snack. And then 2 hours later, they have lunch. Then when they wake up from their nap, they eat a snack again, and then it's dinner. It's just constant like food intake. So potentially having a little bit more of a strategy if you feel like you're leaving those big gaps between meals and you feel like you're really crashing towards the end of that window, seeing how you can mitigate that with something accessible, like having a snack available to you. And I'll give you some suggestions. So these are all really good pairings of protein, fat, and carbohydrate. And we do want those carbs in there, because if we're going really long periods without any carb, your blood sugar is going to be at like zero, and you need that. And so when you eat a nutrient dense carbohydrate with a protein and or a fat or fiber, then you are going to be in a good place to keep those blood sugars balanced, have more sustainable energy, et cetera, et cetera. So some pairings that I really like are apple and cheese stick, trail mix, so like a mix of nuts and dried fruit, and potentially pairing that with like a hard-boiled egg just for some added protein. Another thing would be a combination of cheese slices, whole wheat crackers, and avocado, because avocado is the fat, the whole wheat crackers are the carb, the cheese is protein. Another one, full fat plain Greek yogurt combined with fruit. The yogurt serves as the protein and a little bit of carbohydrate, and the fruit serves as a little bit more carb as well as fiber. Another snack, and I'm just going to give you two more so I don't overwhelm you. Another one is banana and a hard-boiled egg. The banana is the carbohydrate and fiber. The hard-boiled egg is the protein and fat. And then finally, energy bites. So I like to make these energy bites with oats, chia seeds, flax seeds, sometimes throw in craisins or chocolate chips, a little bit of honey, a little bit of peanut butter. So it's got the full spectrum of things, the full spectrum of nutrients in there, and those are really easy to grab and go as well. So take a look at your day, see where you might have super long gaps between eating and how that might affect your energy levels, and also see what you are eating and to see if there's a good balance of nutrients in those places. Finally, on the topic of fatigue, if you feel like you're doing all the things and you're still pretty fatigued for no reason, like you're well beyond the first trimester and you're getting sleep, you're hydrated, you're eating the best you can with food, then it might be useful to talk to your provider and see if they recommend getting labs done, blood work, for any deficiencies, because sometimes we can be working with nutrient deficiencies that we don't even know about that we can be supplementing. So definitely worth some additional thought if you feel like you, again, are doing all the things and you're still very, very tired. All right, moving right along, question number 4 of 5 is, I peed a little when I sneezed. Should I be worried about my pelvic floor? So I think it's common to just like be worried when something happens with our body that's maybe never happened before, especially when we like leak or pee a little, when we cough or sneeze. And so my answer to this is like, when you ask, should I be worried? Maybe, maybe not. It's, you know, if it's just a one-off thing and it's happened one time, it's just something to be aware of. It's just your body providing you feedback. So when you, like from your second trimester on, you have increased pressure within your core. And within your core, what I mean by that is from your diaphragm down to your pelvic floor. So that area has increased pressure from the second trimester onward in your pregnancy. And when we cough or sneeze or laugh, we are sending additional pressure through our core down onto our pelvic floor. And so if we also have the uterus weighing down on the pelvic floor, these things can kind of happen sometimes. And I'm not normalizing and saying like, if you leak when you sneeze every time, it's normal. That's not normal. If it's happening on a one-off occasion, then I would say it might just be something we can correct a little bit. But also, if you're not working on your core and pelvic floor, that's definitely something to start adding in as a preventative measure for now and for postpartum. But something that I gave a tip to a client recently who had this happen, she was like, oh, like I just peed a little when I sneezed, and she was super worried about it. And I was like, well, let's try this. The next time you sneeze, to kind of counteract that pressure, because again, that pressure is increasing as you sneeze or cough or laugh, try to do a little Kegel before that happens, because you can feel a sneeze coming on, right? So do that gentle pelvic floor lift, that mini Kegel. It doesn't have to be super hard squeeze or anything, but just like that little bit of counter pressure, sneeze and see how that works. Ideally, that should help to mitigate the problem. If it doesn't, and it's something that you notice on a recurring basis, it's definitely worth a look from a pelvic floor PT to see what might be going on in there, whether, you know, your muscles are too tense or your pelvic floor is on the weaker side. It could be either or. But I don't want this happening just one time and you freaking out about it. So yeah, just try that tip if you find that happening to you and see how it works. Last but not least, question number 5, what weights are safe to use when lifting? So this one is a loaded question. It's very relative to you, your fitness level, your conditioning, your form, your comfort level. There's no general rule of thumb. And if you're like me and your provider or someone in your life has said, oh, you're not supposed to lift over 25 pounds, just like scratch that. That's not true. And that has since been proven with research that that is not true. It's more relative and subjective to you than anything else. There's no just like, you shouldn't lift over a certain number of weight. So keep that in mind. I've had clients who are squatting barbells into their third trimester. I've had other clients using 5 to 10 pound dumbbells throughout. It is entirely subjective to you. And again, where you've been with your fitness and where you want to go. So the important thing here is that there's no right or wrong, but I do want to give you a few tips to kind of like determine what is good for you and how to stay within a good zone for you. So the zone that I'm talking about is essentially the place where I like you to be, where you are challenging yourself, but you're not pushing yourself to absolute max or absolute exhaustion. So here's how you want to look at it. You want the last 2 to 3 reps of a set to be challenging, but with your form still intact. I always like to say have 1 to 2 reps left in the tank. So if you like are doing a workout and you are going for 10 reps of goblet squats, for instance, by the last 8 to 10, You want to be feeling a level, like a little bit of fatigue, like your muscles should be challenged. You should be feeling a little bit of a burning sensation in your muscles, but it's not so much that your form is cutting out. You're not like having to like grunt it out. You're not having to, you know, disrupt your form or feel completely maxed out when you're done with the set. Again, leaving 1 to 2 left in the tank is ideal. And when this gets easy, let's say like you're working with a program, like many of my clients are doing a training program where they get a new training program each month. So they work with those workouts for several weeks in a row to really master them, to improve upon them. So how I advise them to like increase or not increase their weights is if the next week you're able to get those same 10 reps and it feels really easy, and by those last 2 to 3 reps, you're not really feeling any level of challenge or very minimal level of challenge, I think it's safe to say on that next set, you can go up a little bit. So that's kind of how you want to look at it. You really want to let your body be the guide. And also remember that strength gain won't always look linear in pregnancy, even in postpartum, you guys, because we have all these different lifestyle factors and sleep disruptions and just different responsibilities, right? And strength gain is not always going to look linear, meaning you won't see your weights go up every single time you come back to a certain exercise or a certain workout, and that's okay. So long story short, just let your body be the guide on this one. Using those simple parameters that I gave you, you cannot go wrong within that. Alrighty, my friend, that is a wrap on these 5 questions. I hope you found something within this episode that related back to you, something that you were wondering. Hopefully you had a question answered today, or maybe you just keep it in the back pocket for the future, whatever works for you. But thank you so much for being here. If you have been listening to the podcast and getting value from it, it would mean the absolute world if you gave us a rating and review on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you listen the most. That just means the absolute world for you taking 2 minutes out of your day and leaving us that feedback. Thank you so much for being here, and I will chat with you soon. And that's a wrap, Mama. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of the Strong Mama Podcast. If this show has served you in some way, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. Head to strongmamawellnessco.com for more free resources and opportunities for us to work together. Until next time, keep moving.